It's 2 p.m. on Tuesday. The calendar date is April 8th, 2014. On this tape, you'll hear stories of Patrick and Helen Talon. I am Keith Sweet. We are taping the interview at the family home in Jackson. I'd like to thank you for participating in the Amador County Living History Project. We appreciate your willingness to share some of yourself to preserve our county's history and by sharing your memories. This conversation is being tape recorded. Tapes will be available to the public at no charge. And if you share something during the next hour you regret saying, we'll make every effort to remove it. Okay. Pat, why don't you tell us a little bit about the background with your family, where they came from originally, how they got here, and then maybe Helen, you can do the same thing.
Well, actually, I'm kind of lost, I guess, because I don't know actually the mode of transportation that they were used to get here.
Where do they originate from?
My mother's father was from Italy. And her mother was born here, right?
Right, she was. She was born here, but I think the generation, her parents immigrated from Italy.
Yeah, anyway.
And they met here in Amador County? Mm-hmm. About when, what when might that have been?
Well, my mother was born in 1903, she was the oldest, and there was a sister.
And what was your mother?
Gladys.
What was your mother's name?
Grace. Justo was the maiden name.
How do you spell that?
G-U-I-S-T-O.
Okay.
There also was a brother that died young, and
he was only 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah.
What part of the county did your mother's family live in?
Jackson.
They lived in Jackson.
Jackson Gate.
Jackson Gate is where the house is still there. It's the, what do they call it? It's that inn. It's
the Windrose Inn.
Windrose Inn.
Yeah, it's out there by the old, across from the the old grammar school out there.
Now, did they build that house?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know that house has a kind of a miner's cabin behind it that the owners used to rent out or move into when they rented out the rooms in the inn. And it was they call it a miner's cabin. Looked like a miner's cabin.
Yeah.
So that was your grandmother, Justo's.
Justo. Justo. Grandmother and grandfather, and then when I recollect whatever, they rented that to a guy or a fellow, and he was in it forever, as far as I can remember. And then he did pass, and it was never rented again. While they owned it, and then when they passed, my mother and her sister owned it, and then sold it.
Okay.
My grandmother, Elvira, had three sisters,
more than that. There was Victoria, Anne, Delchesia,
Aurelia.
Aurelia, and there's one more.
Clotilda.
So five sisters and a brother.
Sisters, Chloe and Clotilda lived in Oakland. And the other ones lived here, right?
Right. Now the rest of them lived here.
There were two of them out Jackson Gate Road. And then one lived, what's that road? Vogentol Road there. My one aunt, Ann, worked for Biscayas for years.
Gave them some of their recipes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And my other aunt, Del, what did she? She did a lot of stuff, but it wasn't a steady thing. It was.
No. She lost her husband at a young age.
Yeah.
In a mining accident, I think.
There's a brother too, Angelo.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
And she never married again after she lost her husband.
And my Aunt Ray was married to Jim Gagliardi, who ran the Louvre for years.
Okay. That was a bar on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was down under the bank of Amador
right.
County at that
right.
time. Yeah.
And all those relatives have passed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how about on your father's side?
Well, his dad ran the livery stable, right?
Your grandfather on your father's side, your father's father.
Yeah.
He was born
in
Canada.
Okay. That's the family that came from Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one of the three brothers you were telling me about earlier.
Right.
Tell me that story.
The one brother had come out to California and Nevada, was up around Truckee, and he was doing a lot of gold mining, and they hadn't heard from him for a while. And so three brothers came out together to look for him and find out what happened. And what they found was that he had been murdered, and there was never any reason for the murder. There was never someone caught for it. But the obituary that they found on him was in the Truckee newspaper. And then they spent time a winter in Bodie, California, his grandfather as a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the other two did.
What was the time frame of this?
I'd have to look that up.
Late 1800s.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Dad was born in 1901.
Yeah.
So it was prior to that.
What were their names?
Well, one was Henry, right?
Yeah, and your grandfather was Henry. And there was a James, and he's the one who went back to Canada. And then your other brother, I want to say, was Edward.
I don't remember.
He never married, and he passed away here. He continued to live here in the county.
Okay. And what part of the county did he live in?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I actually never met him. He passed before I was born. And so my grandfather did also.
Your grandfather owned a livery stable? A blacksmith, or was it a blacksmith shop?
Well, he did both.
Yeah.
And that was located where?
Krabenhof. Where the Krabenhof building is.
Right. Now housing Heinen Company Bookstore for reference.
Yeah, right.
Right. So do you remember was the Krabenhof building the immediate replacement of that livery stable? Do you recall?
I don't know. I don't know why. My parents and I lived in the house right next to the Krabenhof building, which is the, what's the name of that now?
It's a Bella Rosa.
Bella Rosa.
Bella Rosa.
Okay.
I relived there until 1946, and then moved to Broadway.
So was it kind of strange to you to walk in and out of your family home as it currently sits as a restaurant?
Well, not really. I was curious, so we did go in there. Been in there two or three times. But the first time we went in, and I asked if I could look around and tour the area and the house, and the guy kind of looked at me, and I told him why, and he said, "Oh, yeah, sure, go right ahead." So it was interesting because they've changed it. They've added to the front, and they've added a couple walls here and there. But anyway.
You said the back of the house was unchanged.
Yeah.
It was still the same as it had been.
So you lived in that home until 1946. Then mm-hmm. Where did you move? Where did you move after 46?
In Broadway. Whatever it is, 115 Broadway.
Okay. Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
No.
What did your father do?
Well, my father was postmaster, also the city clerk for Jackson. And to keep going here after he passed, which was 57, right?
Yeah.
My mother became city clerk. And then she retired, I don't remember when, in the 70s.
Well, before that, your grandfather married a woman by the name of Catherine, and she was city clerk,
That's right.
And then when she passed away, his father took over the position and continued as city clerk as well as postmaster.
Was city clerk, it wasn't a full-time position at that time, was it?
Wasn't full-time, but it took a lot of time. Because he was, in those days, city clerk was responsible for all the billing, all the income, all the expenses. And I used to remember my dad sitting at the dining room table for hours doing paperwork.
Before the days of a computer, these ledger entries.
All handwritten and all.
So the city clerk was, would you say, the only city employee, office employee, so to speak?
More or less for quite a few years, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the different, like a street superintendent and a fire chief and police department and like the heads, but they weren't office people. They were out in the field.
His wife was the city clerk, and then she passed away, and then he took it over.
All right. Yeah. And then when he passed, my mother took it. And they asked me to take it when she retired. I said, "Nope, I ain't doing that."
Well, let's stay right there. When she retired, what were you doing?
I was working.
You were working at Aerojet.
I was working at Aerojet. Yeah.
And that was in Sacramento, Roseville.
Sacramento. That right out.
What'd you do with them?
Ignition fabricator. I used to build these small ignition systems that lit the big ones off that flew. And, matter of fact, I had two units go to the moon.
Really?
They weren't used. But they were backup units for in case the ones wanting to fire them didn't work, and mine were backup. And in those days, you didn't know this stuff at all, and then after it was all over with, then they would they would tell you that, okay, you
So when it was going to the moon, you didn't know you were on it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you lived on basically Main Street in Jackson, and then again on Broadway, which isn't far from downtown. So I guess you were more or less a city boy then.
Well, I lived in the city, yeah. But my grandparents on my mother's side lived in Jackson Gate there, and I used to go out there a lot, run around with my uncle and my grandfather.
So you remember the wheels. You don't remember the wheels when they were actually operating.
No.
But I'm told people played on them every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. I wasn't one of them, but I witnessed it a few times.
You walked back and forth from downtown to Jackson Gate. Not very far. I mean, it's only a mile. You did that quite often?
No, very seldom, actually. My parents didn't, they didn't want me walking alone, even in those days. And my aunt worked downtown. And my uncle worked downtown. So my parents or one of them would take me out. Or bring me back.
So where did your aunt and uncle work?
My aunt was the secretary for the Bill Tam, who ran Tam's clothing store downtown.
Okay.
And my uncle worked for the Bank of Amador County when it was downtown.
And for people listening, where was it downtown? What building is there now?
It's where it is now. Wells Fargo.
Well, where's Fargo? Okay.
Wells Fargo at one time was Bank of Amador County. And that's what she did, was work for Bill Tam, right?
Well, she worked for Begovich. She was his secretary and helped with the campaign and that sort of thing for Begovich when he ran for state senate.
I forgot that. Yeah, that's
and
true.
She worked for him at that time for the state.
So she worked when he was a state senator.
When
she worked for him
senator.
At that time. Okay.
Yeah.
As a local representative for the paper, did she go back and forth to Sacramento?
She went back and forth, I think. She worked in his office.
But she didn't go every day. I mean, it wasn't a daily trip or anything like that.
So you grew up in Jackson.
Yes.
Went to Jackson High School.
Yeah.
Play any sports?
Yeah. Played football and basketball, a little bit of track.
All 4 years?
3 years.
3 years. You recall how many were in your graduating class?
Yeah, 56. Graduated in 56, and there were 56 of us.
Yeah.
Really?
That's something that you don't, just kind of a little combo there that you don't forget.
Some of the names that are members of your graduating class that you recall offhand?
Yeah. Holland, Peters, Marhefka, Farnese, Galeri, Hill, Seifert, Podesta.
My brother, McPherson.
McPherson, your brother. Hennigan or Hennigan?
Hennigan.
Jay. Guys.
Lagomasino.
Yeah, two of them.
Well, you've gone far more than I could go, I guess. and a lot of those folks are still around.
Yes.
Still here in the county. How was your football team?
We did real good, except that, well, I got irritated with the coach years ago, my sophomore year, and I quit football. And,
but the football team was...
The football team was a number one in those years.
Yeah.
So, you know, with a class of 56, a school of probably less than 200.
Yeah, around there, 250, something like
yeah.
that.
Did you when you graduated, did you go to college?
Mm-hmm. Junior college.
Okay. I'm always kind of curious and ask people, you know, schools obviously now are not that much bigger. I mean, I guess double the size, but even so, mm-hmm. 400 is still fairly small compared to
mm-hmm.
a lot of schools. And did you ever think that you had, when you went to SAC Junior College and then on, that you ever missed anything in terms of academic preparation? Were you competitive? Did you feel uncomfortable?
No, I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. I had real good instructors in those years. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Van Thiel, Danilovich, we were able to, if we had a problem, we could ask. And there was no grumbling about it. They just take care of it. Explain to me what I was doing, and there were times where they told me what I was doing wrong and straighten your act up, boy.
So what kind of science classes did you take?
You know, I don't even remember what I did in science. What was
biology?
Well, yeah, but I...
You took mostly like English and journalism.
Yeah.
And bookkeeping.
I took math, bookkeeping.
You didn't really take college prep courses so much.
I took just enough prep stuff to get into junior college. I wasn't planning on going to a university or anything. So I took the easy way out.
Well, you went to junior college. Did you commute back and forth?
I went down on Sunday evening and came home on Friday evening.
And where?
Stayed in Sacramento,
okay.
Right near the college.
Just rented an apartment?
No, it was a house that this lady rented the upstairs to three students. There were three of us, sometimes four, on the upper floor. And we used to go in, you go down the driveway and then up the stairs. We didn't have to go through their living quarters.
Right.
Now, and she used to feed us every evening also.
Oh, really? Boarding room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did you do after you graduated from SAC Junior College?
Went to work.
And then, and you went to work where?
A couple of different service stations, and then I later went to work for Brighton Sand and Gravel.
Brighton.
And then,
was that something in the county?
That was on Highway 16, just out of Sacramento. What's the name of that plant down there now? Big concrete plan as you're going in on 16.
Tickard?
Tigard.
Tigard. There we are, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
okay,
where it was, where Brighton was. And then got married. And we lived in Sacramento, and then we moved to Roseville. Mainly we moved to Roseville because of Aerojet. It was like closer there.
So did you meet in, you met in Jackson?
I was married twice. I met my first wife in Sacramento when she was, I was in college and she was senior at McClatchy High School. And we married that, you know, after school and then divorced. Oh, that goes a ways too, huh?
Back to while you were growing up in high school. Now, Jackson was somewhat of a raucous town by description back in the 50s.
Somewhat?
And and you were growing up on Broadway, not far from downtown, and behind a house or two. What kind of I guess I don't, not sure how to phrase this question, but your perception of Jackson downtown, living in that era as a high school student.
Well,
any comment?
I loved every minute of it. I worked for the Chevron Station, Ernie Cuneo, which is where the little city park is right now, across from the Wells Fargo.
Petkovich Park,
right.
Yeah.
I've seen innumerable changes.
Telling the story.
I probably can't remember half of them. What?
Tell them the story about the raid.
Well,
because you were
working. No, we aren't going to go into that.
Well, sure we do.
Because you were working that day.
I was working at the Chevron the evening that Pat Brown came up and raided the houses.
Pat Brown was Attorney General at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And I, you know, they came into the station, asked them where to go, and I, and the minute they stepped out of those cars, I went, I know who you are, but anyway, you don't, you know, we told them.
So how many cars were there? I mean,
I don't know. Three anyway, because we had two islands, and they clogged them both up there for a minute or two, but the girls used to have the station there because it was so close, do all their whatever work the car needed, you know, oil changes or tires or whatever. Yeah. And that was interesting because they come in usually and say, I hear this, I hear that, fix it. He didn't ask how much, fix it. Okay. So
you could see the raid right from where you were, right from the station?
No, because of the buildings, you couldn't see the raid. But I do remember hearing, it had to be men, run down the creek and getting out of there so they wouldn't get captured.
And that was the house that was would have been on Broadway, right?
There was three in there.
There
was three. There was one right behind the bridge cabin, which was right there where the bridge is now.
Right.
And then there was one behind that, and then two more back.
Well, one was like behind where that karate building is now. Isn't it karate that's there?
Right.
Yeah, that was the old Safeway building.
The old
building.
Safeway store where,
yeah,
where
it was
Black,
the old Safeway.
And Coldwell Banker recently was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's a karate place in there, right?
And Wes Davies Garage. And then
that's down the street where
Brown's,
Brown's is right now. Well, I used to work for him, too, for Davies.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, no, there was the bridge cabin and then one of the houses and then two more right down the creek right behind them. Now, right where the parking lot is for the Bank of America now.
Yeah, what is now Highway 88, where it connects to Highway 49, would have been behind the bridge house. Was that road through there or not?
Yeah, that road was there.
Okay.
Yeah. That road was put in 49 and 88 connection there was put in 47, 48, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Because it used to
It's written on the bridge down there.
Because you used to have to come in through Water Street, Court Street, and Water Street was your entrance into Jackson.
Well, the ladies that worked in those houses, well, obviously went in and out of the houses, walked up and down streets and went shopping and so forth. Were they treated as a novelty, or did you just ignore them, or they were just people that lived in town? How was the community's reaction?
Most of them you didn't know who or what they were unless you knew who they were. You know, I mean, I was working at the station there on different shifts, days and evenings and whatever, so I knew, and the guys I worked with knew who these girls were, and they didn't flaunt their whatever.
Right.
You know. There also was a house where
Mel's
is now. There used to be a house there.
Yeah, in fact, I remember that property used to be known as the Cat House property.
Mm-hmm.
It was for sale.
Right.
You know, people would refer to it as the Cat House property.
Right.
And there was one down in Butte City, too, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, but that was out of town.
Yeah.
What do you know, if anything, about tunnels under Jackson that supposedly the Chinese were in and out of?
Well, there was a tunnel at one time from the Kennedy Mine to downtown Main Street.
From the Kennedy Mine to downtown Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
On the eastern side of what is now Highway 49, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Down underneath the Syrian property, which is now called the Syrian property.
Yeah.
Really?
This is I guess you could say it's, I don't know the word is hearsay, but I couldn't prove it to you. But it's stories I've heard.
Well, there's hundreds mm-hmm. of miles of tunnels, or up to 100 miles mm-hmm. of tunnels, whatever the phrase is, correct? I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of miles down there. So it wouldn't surprise me, but there probably isn't a surface entrance to it. At the mine side, is there?
No, you went in down the shaft.
You went in and down the shaft, and then
the surface in the area supposedly was in the basement of the National Hotel, and then also there was another one supposedly at where the Klondike Bar used to be, which. It's down there near, it's where Mattich Insurance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's like the next building up.
There's like the brick building there.
These were years that you were in high school, you were working,
mm-hmm.
because that raid took place, what, in 1957, maybe?
Was it 57? No, I was working, and I didn't work there after school, after I graduated, so it was before that.
Before 56. I should know the answer to that, but I don't
I
know.
Should do. Yeah, because I was in school from 52 to 56, and I worked.
Seems like it was 55.
And I worked there at that time.
That number comes to mind,
yeah.
too. So what were some of the, other than sports, activities. What would the kids do in Jackson while you were in high school, particularly?
Well, I had a girlfriend. Most of my spare time was with her.
That's an answer that 90% of all males will give.
Yeah.
We used to run around in our cars and never really got into trouble, but we were close a lot of times.
A little dragging up and down Main Street?
Well, a little bit there, but we used to, they used to stop there at Campbell Chevron and race to the river and back. And
that's the McCullamy River.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was before all the side roads and all that stuff. We used to just fly down there. Some guys I remember they'd get goofy and they'd bet their pink slips and all this stuff. I never did that. And I won some races, but I never bet or give them any way of getting rid of the car.
Now, with the Krabbenhof building, was there a lot of social activities that took place in that building?
A lot of dances upstairs, which I went to. Yeah.
Who put those on?
That's a good question.
Well, a lot of them, I think, were like private parties that people, they would just get together from the public and they'd...
There was dances every Saturday night.
Dance.
There was dances every Saturday night up there one way or another. And I don't remember who put them on. But I do, excuse me, remember going up there and doing a lot of dancing.
Now, the relationship between Jackson High School students and Sutter Creek High School students, I mean, were there a lot of Sutter Creek people at these dances too?
He's being nice. He's saying Sutter Creek. Amador. There wasn't much of a problem between the kids in those days. I mean, there were a few arguments and fights, but...
Rivalry.
Yeah. But you probably pretty much knew them all, right?
Yeah. And usually if there was any really major beefs, for whatever reason, they were taken out on the sports field, whether it be football, baseball, basketball. It's usually where it was really got rough. But then after it was over with, it was, no problem.
Sutter Creek has a different tone or atmosphere about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson's still a little more of a business town, as a, you know, has that feel. It's not quite as painted up, so to speak. How do you recall the difference between Jackson and Sutter Creek 60, 70 years ago?
I don't remember any difference, really. Everybody was, I had good friends in Sutter Creek, and they had good friends over here, so it was like...
Sutter Creek always had their main, yearly celebration of the time picnic. That had been going on for years and years.
Oh, yeah, and we had Kit Carson days.
Kit Carson days.
Tell us about the Kit Carson days, right? You know, that apparently was a pretty big event.
Yes, it was. That was one fun weekend.
Huge parade, just a weekend of celebrating.
Big parades and dancing. And in those days, you could have... more or less do whatever you wanted to, except for anything major. But they didn't care if you walked up and down Main Street with a drink in your hand or not. It didn't matter. And you used to go from one bar to the next and up and down Main Street. And that's when there were a lot of bars downtown. And you could, take your glass and put it on the bar over here, and they'd give you another drinking. You go to the next bar and switch glasses around all night long, and I never saw it or heard of it or witnessed it or anything, but the next week after Kit Carson Days was over with, all the bars would take the glasses back to the original bar.
Switch them back.
So.
Now, when you were working in the gas station in high school, on the weekends and so forth, did you notice a lot of out-of-towners in town? I mean, was it...
I didn't pay any attention. I saw some, yeah, naturally. But I didn't... It didn't matter. I didn't even...
Well, in addition to the houses we were talking about, there was also a lot of gambling taking place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In those bars you're speaking of on Main Street, Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and out Jackson Gate Road.
Yep.
Several places. The Wagon Wheel being one of them, I guess.
Yeah.
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 Now, that had a big dance floor, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
It was a good one. So was Vizcaya's, really. It wasn't huge, but it was nice. Especially when they put the lighted floor in.
At Vizcaya's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
During Kit Carson Days, they shut Main Street down. And you could just wander anywhere you wanted to and dance in the middle of the street.
Was it shut down for just one day, or was it shut down for Saturday and Sunday, or
you were usually shut down Saturday afternoon,
yeah,
until after the parade on Sunday.
Yeah. They always had a kids' parade on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then they would have the main parade Sunday morning.
And just in terms of time, how, you know, we talk about a parade. Now we have a parade that's over in 20 minutes or less.
Probably a good hour.
Yeah.
Was the Kit Carson Day parade as big as the Italian Day parade in Sutter Creek?
Bigger.
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 Yeah.
And wow. Then they both kind of dwindled, but the Italian one is still going.
And the Kit Carson had a lot of horses from all around.
Oh, everywhere.
Sheriff's departments,
yeah,
and
yeah,
so forth.
They had people come in these horse groups or whatever. I don't even know what you call them. But
Posse.
But just regular groups that used to come in with these big, gorgeous horses and all this silver and gold.
Yeah,
it was really something.
Saddles, yeah.
It really was something else.
A lot of floats. People spend a lot of time making floats, building them.
Now, Marion Cuneo,
mm-hmm,
lived out Jackson Gate Road,
mm-hmm,
just across the street from your grandparents' home there.
More or less. Close.
More or less. And she was, I understand, quite a horsewoman and... won a number of pieces of gold in the Kit,
yep,
Carson Days parade. You remember,
mm-hmm,
remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember her. I know her, knew her, and I would recognize her, but I never was, I guess you could call, friendly with her, because, you know, I don't know why. She was older than I was. And,
right.
But... my grandfather, I guess, he would go to the different bars there in Jackson Gate, Teresa's, Vizcaya's, the Wagon Wheel. And he kind of, I wouldn't say he did it daily, but did it quite often, but he was well known in the area, and he used to work at the mine.
Now, Now, a story I just now occurred to me that I've heard about your grandparents' house. I was told that I was in the bathroom or in someone in that house discovered gold. You recall that story?
Yeah, but it wasn't my grandparents. That was in Jim and Gagliardi. That was the house up behind.
On Bogentoll Road.
Bogentoll, where Napa used to be.
Right.
The house right behind it. Now.
Right.
They needed to remodel or something after my uncle Jim died, and they found gold down in them between the wall. And he was the gentleman that ran the louver. So you kind of put two and two together, you know where the gold comes from.
Well, see, now we've got a correction to an erroneous story floating around Jackson about the wrong house, the wrong family.
Same family, wrong house.
Yep. Same family, wrong house. Yeah. Now, you worked at Aerojet, and then how'd you get back here?
Well, I don't know. I worked at Aerojet. I married Helen. And she was in Oakland in nursing school. Then she moved to Sacramento when we were married and went to work for Sutter. And then we decided to hell with the big city. And we moved up here.
Now, some of it was that prompted us too was that my father had passed away, and my mother never drove, and so she was kind of stranded in a way, because the house was up on Argonaut Heights. It was one of the that house was built in like 48, and was before the subdivision was all put in. That was all open field and belonged to the mine, actually. And so we kind of moved up here, too, to be close and make sure that she had transportation and that sort of thing.
And your mother's name was?
McPherson.
First name?
Alice.
Alice McPherson, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was still working at Aerojet.
Right.
And Helen went to work for Sutter, or for Amador, I guess it was,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I did home nursing for a little bit and then went to work for Amador Hospital.
In the old hospital.
In the old hospital,
which
yeah.
Which is no longer...
not even standing there
not
anymore.
Not even standing there anymore, right. And that's not even the old hospital. The old hospital, of course, for those who are listening, is now the building that houses the district attorney.
Yes. Yeah. I never worked in that building.
No.
that was like the original
right.
hospital.
Right. So you commuted back and forth to Aerojet and then finally got a job up here, or did you retire?
I got laid off at Aerojet. I was one of the, when they had that big major layoff down there, I was one of the last to get laid off because I had been there the longest. And when I got laid off, I come up here and I went to work for Al Burke.
That's right.
At the 66th station, which is where the vacant lot is across from True Value.
Yeah, where Womack.
Okay, Gettle right,
is.
Okay.
Went to work for him. And then I don't really remember how it came about, but that's when, right around that time was when Mike Spinetti started that motorcycle shop, and I was down there a lot, and I went to work for him. I worked for Mike for
quite a while.
A long time. Actually, I worked for him until he decided to leave and go up to Nevada.
Now, was that a motorcycle shop that was owned just by Mike Spinetti, or did he have another partner?
That was just his at the time. When I left there, Stan Lukowicz was involved with Mike as partner.
But Stan never had a partnership in the bike shop. They entered into partnership buying other property together.
Okay. Motherlode Real Estate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Motherlode Real Estate. Was Mike the mayor? Mike was on the city council at the time.
He was the mayor. He was the mayor while I was fire chief.
When did you become fire chief?
71.
Obviously, you didn't just walk in and become fire chief.
No.
You were a volunteer firefighter?
I was a volunteer firefighter. I joined the fire department when I was a sophomore in high school in 1954.
Really?
And I stayed with them even when I had lived out of town. But the chief at that time, Podesta, kept me on the department because I was up here usually all during the weekends. And I just stayed with it. And then after Helen and I moved up here, and then I was full-time again.
So you became fire chief in 71, and you were fire chief until when?
No, I'm just trying to think. 94. And I was on the department. Because I was on the department for 40 years total before I retired from fire chief.
Now, when you started as a fire chief in 71, was that a paid position?
Mm-hmm, part-time pay. And that's the way it stayed till I actually until just a year or
just
so
a few
ago.
Years ago, right.
Jack Quinn was appointed fire chief after I left.
Let's go back to when you were a sophomore and the bell rang. You were actually able to go out on fire calls or med calls or whatever. What was primarily did you get called out for?
Now, there wasn't all that many calls, but if there was a call that came in, the siren went off downtown, and I was able to leave. They didn't. I had asked permission earlier, and they said, "Yeah, if you get a call, go." So
what,
I did.
What kind of training did you get as when you started off
there
as a sophomore?
There weren't no training.
No training.
On the job training.
The one thing that you needed to learn, if you want to do, which I did, was to run the equipment, drive the engines, and be able to run the pumps and all that stuff. Other than that, you learned as you went.
So you became fire chief in 71, and when did it go from laissez-faire type of firefighting, learning, training, whatever, to more structured requirements?
In 71, when I took over.
Now, was that something that you thought was important, or was that some requirements?
No, they took me down, this council took me, had me go to the office for an interview, which at that time the city office was where the fire department is now.
It was, on Main Street there.
Yeah, the police department and everything was right there in that little office building. They interviewed me, and before I left, they appointed me fire chief. I told them what I wanted to do, and they said, okay, fine. And I did it.
When you first became fire chief, do you recall how many volunteer firefighters there were?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, I don't remember exactly, but it was like 14.
Okay.
And when I became fire chief and at the first meeting, I had a list on one of these tablets, told them what we were going to do, why we were going to do it, and I ended the situation with, and if anyone here decides they don't want to do this, there's a door. And I lost about half of the guys I had. Never, there were no animosity. It's just that they didn't want to go through the training and the rigmarole that I had spelled out.
Right.
When I left in 94, there was 25 of us at that time.
And I guess that's probably a kind of a high point in number of volunteers, would you say? Or
that's about what they have now.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. There's not... of course, when I started, there was... two engines. The one stall was for the police car. And then later on, as we progressed, I was able to get upgraded in newer engines, and finally I had enough engines, whatever, that the police car was outside where it should have been anyway, because they worked
right,
you know, 24 hours. So I mean, it was like, what do you need a garage for, guys?
So you were the fire chief that stopped the fight fires and then drink a case of beer crowd, huh?
That's what one of the things I stopped later on in I don't know what year it was, 80s, late 80s, middle 80s. There was no drinking period. If you were drinking and we got a call, stay home. So.
Yeah, well, that's obviously, those were good changes, and you were getting more and more busy too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I first started. We were running 50 or less calls per year, and when I retired, I was up around 600. Right now, they're up around 1,200 or better.
All right, I'm going to stop right here. Okay. So you were saying that when you finished in 94, you had about 600 calls on average. So during this entire time that you were fire chief, obviously the training intensified over the whole period of time.
And we used to train weekly, Wednesday evening.
And they still do.
And they still do.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to think now on the call. I said 600. I don't think there was that many.
I don't recall. I used to do his reports and type them up for the state. Because he had to.
Maybe 400, 450. I know they're way up there now.
Yeah, they're considerably higher than that now.
But at that time.
And most of your calls, I assume, just like today, were med calls versus a fire call.
Right, yeah, medical and
auto accident kind of stuff.
Accidents and lift assist and that kind of stuff were.
When did you start, you recall having a requirement for EMT to be
the state did that. They required fire personnel to have EMT certs. If you were an officer, like a chief or assistant chief or something like that, then you are not required to have that. In our department, my department, whatever, there was only two or three of us that didn't do the EMT stuff. I was one. My assistant chief was one. Everybody else became EMTs. It just worked out that way, actually. Sure. They weren't required to, when it first started, they weren't required to be an EMT. But later on, if you're a fireman, you had to be an EMT.
Any particularly harrowing experiences you had as a firefighter over those years that were close calls, so to speak?
Yeah, well, not myself so much, but my department, my men, yeah, we had quite a few of them. What's the name of that hotel? Globe?
The Globe Hotel.
Globe Hotel down on Main Street. The apartment up above the realtor office. There were fires down along Main Street that I wouldn't say they were really dangerous, but they could have been. A lot of structure fire, house fires that could have been really bad. Two or three of them were bad, but with nobody injured.
And that one in the Globe Hotel,
that's where
some of your men got, one of your men got injured.
Two of them.
Yeah.
And the one, that lady was killed.
And there was a death. Yeah. And it burned the whole upstairs there, and they just kept it out of, it was Garibaldi Studio right next door.
Right.
But those were all common wall, and they were managed to kind of keep it out of their store.
Well, a fire in downtown Jackson, Van Orr now, is dangerous. I mean, yeah, considering the fact that many of the building's interior is all wood and common walls. Would that be safe to say?
The worst part about a lot of downtown is common attic.
Yeah.
Where that, I mean, the attic will run for three or four stores, and if a fire gets up in there, you've got a mess.
Right. So, any competition between the fire department and the police department? I know you kicked a car out, but beyond that.
Now, the chief, when I started, was Guy Toffanelli, police chief. And then Vern.
Farewell.
And then later on, Paul Petronazzi. And I didn't personally have any problem with any of them.
And you were well supported by the city council all the time when you were fire chief?
I didn't have any problem with the council. When Jim Buell became manager, I kind of thought there would be a problem just because. And it turned out there were very minor problems, but nothing.
Jim coming from a larger city to a smaller community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Helen, back to you for a second. Your family was a McPherson, must have come from Ireland.
Scotland,
I should say. I knew I said, as soon as I said Ireland, I knew I was wrong.
Yeah.
My Scottish friends will probably shoot me when they listen to this tape.
Yeah. My father's family had immigrated into Canada also, and his father moved from Canada into California. And then my grandfather, he worked he was a captain of a merchant ship, and he sailed the seas more or less between the Philippines, all the islands in there, and California. and he retired here in Amador County. And he was manager of the Amador County Railroad.
Oh, okay.
When he first retired, and then he retired from being a ship captain, and then he retired from that.
So his office was up in Martell?
Up in Martell, yeah. And there was a post office up there, too. When my father first moved from the Bay Area to Amador County, he worked in that post office.
Is that the one that was on the corner of Jackson Gate and 49?
Yes, that's where it was. Yeah, and he worked as... Well, no, the post office was up part of the railroad yard.
Oh, okay.
It was like the roundhouse was like right beside it. And then the post office was there. And that's the one that he worked at.
So the road to it was been off of Jackson Gate Road?
Right.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And where did they live?
They lived in a house that, it was kind of back off the road, but it was right at the top of the hill when you came up from Jackson Gate Road. The house is no longer there. At the... That's where the, it was owned by the railroad company.
Okay.
So, but they, well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure that it was. But they lived in that house until he died, and then his wife died. And
that was your grandfather on your...
On my father's side.
Uh-huh. And where did your father...
My father, well, he worked there at the post office, and then he worked for the... county in the county assessor's office for a while, and then he started working for the bank, and it was the Bank of Amador County, and he worked right up until a week before he passed away. He was just one of these people that never could retire. He didn't like the thought of retiring, and Wells Fargo had purchased the Bank of Amador County, and he worked for them for about 2 years before he passed away.
What was his job with
them? He was a teller.
A teller. And what did your mother do?
She was a housewife. She was born in Montana. And her father had worked as a sheep herder for a long time. And then...
Where in Jackson was your family home?
When I was a kid, I lived in Pine Grove. And then we built a house... up in Argonaut Heights area, that was in 1948.
And what street is that on?
Argonaut Lane,
okay.
Yeah. It wasn't part of the subdivision that's there. That came later.
Right.
And then...
So you, and you went to Jackson High School?
I did, yeah, and I graduated in 1959.
So you knew the gentleman sitting on the couch here next to you when you were in high school.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him. Yeah. Well, my brother was in his class, too, and they became more friends when they went away to college because they were both roomed in the same house, boarding house that where they lived going to college.
Mm-hmm. So you had a gold mine right here in Amador County, but you married somebody else from Sacramento.
I screwed up.
So you what did you do in high school? Of anything special or that you recall or enjoyed or?
I don't know, not really. I played tennis, but I never was on the tennis team. I never could quite make it. But I played tennis all through high school, and back then you didn't have PE and tennis. You had one or the other kind of thing. And
you were in a band, weren't you?
And I played in a high school band.
So what did you play for a little bit?
What did you both play? What instrument?
I played clarinet.
Trombone. Not very long, but I played trombone.
and you last played the clarinet when?
This afternoon.
Really?
It's She's part of the Amador County band.
Oh, right. Oh, you're in the Amador County band. Okay.
I took a backup the clarinet in the 1990s. That was that whole block of time when I went away to college until then that I didn't play. And then I picked it back up and started playing. And then I've been playing with an Amador community and concert band now for quite a while. I didn't start when they started. I think it was like 6 months later or something that I joined them and started playing.
Well, they're really sounding good.
Well, the last time I heard you was out at the golf course in Iona several years ago.
On a Friday night.
Right.
In the park.
Right. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Highland School of Nursing in Oakland. And I worked in Oakland for a while and then moved up to Sacramento, like he had said, and worked in for Sutter down there for a while until we moved back up here.
When you moved up here in nursing at the hospital, you were doing home health, did you say?
I was doing like some home health before starting to work in the hospital again. It was not a home health organization that kept people, employed. It was just people that were needy and needed a nurse to work, and so I took care of people in their homes at that time. I only did it for a short period of time and then started working at the hospital.
Could that have been a full-time business at that, do you think?
I don't really know. I suppose it could have been, but not. You wouldn't have employed a lot of people.
Right.
There was a little bit of a need. I think there's a greater need nowadays than there was then.
When you're working for a family in that short period of time, or families, your supervisor, I guess, would have been the doctor that those people were being treated for.
Right.
What kind of nursing did you specialize in?
Critical care.
And that you were in that most of the time?
Right.
How long were you in nursing?
I worked for Amador County in Sutter Hospital. I worked for 40 years for them. And then I had, worked also in Sacramento and Oakland. So there's a couple more years there. But during that time, or towards the end of my career, I did work for San Joaquin Delta College as a clinical instructor.
Oh, really? Okay. Did you ever talk to my wife about that?
Yeah. Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, because
sure
she applied for the same job.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a. So you had how many brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister who went away to a business school and then got married, and she lives in Tracy, actually. And my brother, he lives over in Placerville. He had he went into the Air Force. After college, he went to junior college, and then he ended up graduating from Berkeley, and he went into the Air Force, and he retired. He worked at Mather Air Force Base for a long time as an aeronautical engineer.
And your brother's first name?
John.
John. Yeah. Well, I asked Pat earlier when he was in high school and his relationship or understanding or thoughts about the city of Jackson and its activities, so to speak. From a girl's perspective, what thoughts did you have, or do you recall, or was there
it just seemed I knew the kind of things that were going on in Jackson, and it was like, well, everybody knew it, and so what? It was just one of those things that was
part of daily life.
Yeah, and I kind of never gave it a thought, figuring that, well, it probably goes on in other towns too. So then it became the talk of the town when they had to shut down all the brothels and the gambling places. because the gambling that they were doing, it basically had already, I don't know that it had been outlawed, but it...
Well, it wasn't taking place anyplace else in California, I understand.
No.
So the story goes, not quite as openly and as blatantly, apparently.
Yeah. Being raised around it, you just kind of accepted it as being there and never thought one way or the other about it.
It was part of the scenery, so to speak.
Yeah.
Only,
and you felt safe. I never felt unsafe at any time of the day or night walking in Jackson. It was nothing.
You get the sense that downtown Jackson on a Friday or Saturday night was fairly active, though, back in those days.
Yeah. All the places had bands or music of some kind, a pianist maybe, and the National Hotel was a popular place to go, and the Azure Club, and
the Wells Fargo Club.
Yeah. There was another club, for the 49er.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of bars up and down Main Street.
Right, right.
I think at one time when I was in high school, there was like 11 bars.
So driving down to the Bella Rosa now on a Friday night is pretty tame.
Pretty tame.
Tame. Tame's the word for it.
Pretty tame.
Yeah. Compared to those days, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been nice chatting with you. Is there something that, any story that you wanted to tell me that you thought about before I was coming out that I didn't ask you about?
Not really. I mean, we've talked about fire and employment in downtown.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
New Year's was always a big celebration because everybody celebrated right along with the Serbian church. And they would shoot guns and everything. And it wasn't, I mean, it was just one of those things that you did on New Year's Eve and fire your shotgun off and then in the air or whatever.
Now, do you recall, were you firing them off from your residential property, or was everybody going downtown on Main Street and shooting them up in the air?
From your residence.
Yeah. You'd go out on the deck and shoot.
The Serbians, they did what they do now. They go, downtown, but they go around here and there and shoot. Yeah, those days they would go everywhere and shoot.
Yeah. Wherever they happen to be, because they go from home to home
right.
A lot of times, as well as downtown and wherever they were.
Of course, they were firing live rounds then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Now when they shoot on downtown Main Street, they're firing blanks.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. A little bit different. But anyway, thank you for allowing us into your home. Appreciate it.
Certainly.
You're welcome.